Well, good morning. We're in our series titled Destined for Glory. We've come a long way. We're now in chapter 11 or lesson 11 in this series. Today's lesson is titled When Jesus Comes Again. Now, in the first chapter, I pointed out that salvation is something that we experience in the past, in the present, and in the future. Salvation doesn't reach its full climax until Jesus comes again. And so I want to do just a real quick review on this. First of all, salvation in the past, we talked about, is redemption. It is God forgiving us our sins in Jesus Christ. Paul writes, "For by grace are we saved through faith." Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. It is at this point that a person is right with God. In fact, you will never be more right with God than you are at this point in time. Saved is saved. Jesus rescued us from our sins. He redeemed us. Like the song says, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child forever I am. You know, redeemed, you know, goes on. But that's salvation in the past. And in the second lesson, we had a lesson titled, It Starts With a Birth. And so we looked at how to be born again and to experience this redemption in Jesus Christ. How we experience the salvation we did in the past. But salvation is also experienced in the present, and we refer to this as sanctification. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, Paul writes, "But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." And here Paul is referring to the process by which God shapes us and makes us look like Jesus. We observed a variety of resources that God uses to shape our lives so that we look like His Son. He uses suffering. He uses the Scriptures, the Holy Spirit, the example of Jesus, the saints or the church, His providence and prayer. Now, this is not an exhaustive list on God's resources, but these are the main players. And I would encourage you just to look back on your life and see how far you've come as a believer in Jesus. Look how God has transformed your life. Look how much more you look like Jesus than when you were first called. And the good news is, He's not finished yet. Right? He's still working in our lives. He wants your life to shine bright. And Paul says that we are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. And so we spent 7 lessons talking about salvation in the present, how God is presently saving us, making us more like Jesus. But salvation is also experienced in the future, and we refer to this as glorification. And this will take place when Jesus Christ comes again. In Romans 13:11, Paul writes, "For now is salvation nearer to us than when we first believed." And so in this text, Paul is talking about when Jesus comes to take us home. Listen to what the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 28. "So Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time for salvation without reference to sin to those who eagerly wait for Him." Notice that His second coming is for salvation. That's what the writer of Hebrews says there. This is not redemption. This is glorification. When Jesus returns, we will be like Him. And remember, that's what this lesson is all about. It's all about salvation. it began in Romans 8:29, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's what God is up to in all of our lives. And Paul writes in Philippians 3:20 and 21, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our lowly condition into conformity with his glorious body by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. When Jesus returns, we will experience salvation in all of its fullness. Paul writes in Colossians chapter 3, verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. When Christ comes again, you will be glorified. At that time, we will stand perfect in body and soul and spirit. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 23 and 24, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. What a promise attached to that, right? This is what God's up to, and he who is faithful will do it. My favorite song, in case you don't know, is The Old Rugged Cross. The fourth stanza communicates this wonderful truth. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So it's biblical, and it's also a song that we sing. And so today we're looking at salvation and the future. And so as believers in Jesus, we are encouraged to be ready for and anticipating the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ to take us home, to be with him. In John 13, Jesus shared with his disciples that he would be going away. He was referring to his death and subsequent ascension to heaven. And then in John 14, he sought to encourage these distraught disciples with these wonderful words. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. This is our hope. In Acts chapter 1, Luke records this promise of Jesus to come again. In Acts 1, verses 9 through 11, Luke writes these words. Now when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. You see, Jesus left in a cloud. And the Bible says he will return in the clouds. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, John writes, Behold, he comes with clouds. Every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Amen. And so we are taught to wait for the return of Jesus. And Paul writes about this in 1 Thessalonians In fact, the whole book of 1 Thessalonians is about Jesus coming again. Every chapter mentions it. In chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, Paul says, "For they themselves declare to us concerning, declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come." And so the Thessalonian believers, Paul says, they turned away from their idols to serve the living and the true God, and to wait for His Son Jesus to come back again. You see, we Christians, when you boil it down, we have two responsibilities, primary responsibilities. Number one, it is to turn from our sin or our idols. And number two, to wait for Jesus to come again. And I have to add that waiting for Jesus to come again does not mean that we're just sitting around doing nothing. It rather means that we are busy as God's people doing the work that God has called us to do in this world. Waiting for Jesus is activity, not inactivity. So don't get the idea of waiting means, you know, our arms are folded and we're sitting in our easy chair just waiting for Jesus to return. No, we're supposed to be busy doing the work God called us to do. That is waiting for Jesus. And so what will happen when Jesus comes again? Now, there are several eschatological events that will occur. I'm not going to get into all of the eschatological events. Our concern and my concern with this lesson is purely that of salvation. And so that is going to be the focus of this part of the lesson. What will happen when Jesus comes again? First, the Bible says, the dead in Christ will rise. In 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16, Paul writes, "For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." When Jesus comes again, the very first thing that will happen is those who have died in the Lord will rise from their graves. That's the first thing that will occur. And Paul gives us a little more additional information concerning the resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 42 to 49, Paul writes these words, "So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown a perishable body. It is raised an imperishable body. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. And so also it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living person. The last Adam was a life-giving spirit." It's a reference to Jesus. "However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, then the spiritual. The first man is from the earth, earthly. The second man is from heaven. As is the earthly one, so also are those who are earthly. And as is the heavenly one, so also are those who are heavenly. Just as we have borne the image of the earthly, we will also bear the image of the heavenly." This is exciting stuff. Second, when Jesus comes again, the living will be transformed. Because when Jesus comes again, everybody's not going to be dead. Right? You're still going to have billions of people walking planet Earth. And so what will happen to believers at that moment? Well, Paul goes on in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 17, and says, "Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus shall we always be with the Lord." Well, then Paul goes on to shed just a little bit more light on this topic in 1 Corinthians 15, in the resurrection chapter we were looking at a moment ago. In verses 51 and 52. Now in 50 he made the point. He says flesh and blood cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Can't happen. So beginning in verse 51, Paul says this: "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." In other words, we're not all going to be in the grave. "But we shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." So, when Jesus comes again, those who are in the graves, they will rise first, and they will have their new, glorious, resurrection bodies formed and fashioned in the likeness of Jesus's resurrection body. Those who are alive and believe in Jesus, instantly they will change. And so they will lose this body of corruption and be given a body of incorruption. This will happen when Jesus returns. And so it's at this moment that we will experience the fullness of salvation. You see, it's at this point, at this moment, that salvation is fully realized in all of our lives. And so the finished product doesn't occur until Jesus comes again. And then what God planned for your life and my life is fully realized. You see, when God created us in the beginning, when we read in the book of Genesis, He equipped us with a body that is suitable for life here on earth. But when Jesus comes again, He will equip us with a body that is suitable for our new abode, heaven. We will have a body like Jesus. You see, you could not be in the presence of God with this body. And that's why the Bible says no man can look upon God and live. And so you can't experience an encounter with God, a face-to-face encounter with God in this corruptible body. It can't happen. You need a new body. And so God is going to give us that new body that is suitable for life there and to be in the presence of God forever and ever. And then in Revelation 21, verses 3 and 4, God, through the Apostle John, gives us a little glimpse into our future following the coming of Jesus. He says, beginning in verse 3 of chapter 21, "And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." And so, the very first book of the Bible records the fall of man. Genesis 3 shows us how man was cut off from his God. In the last book, the book of Revelation, we see this relationship that was broken is now fully restored. John says the tabernacle of God is with men. What does that mean? The tabernacle, it's a tent, it's a dwelling. So God's dwelling is with men now in a very personal and intimate way. That's what John is telling us here, or God is telling us through John. We will never, ever, ever again know the pain of sin. You see, God at this time, as John records here, He will wipe away every tear from our eyes. Just like your mother did when you were a child and you ran and fell down and scraped your knee and you came running and crying and mama embraced you and hugged you and fixed it up and told you that everything would be okay. And she always wiped away those tears, right? And that's what God is going to do. God is going to wipe away all the tears, meaning we're never going to know pain, sorrow, sickness, sadness, death, anything like that again. You see, one of our songs says, no tears in heaven, no sorrows given, all will be glory in that land. And then in Revelation 22, John continues this vision into our future with God at the return of Jesus. Beginning in verse 1, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and the Lamb. In the middle of the streets and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be, notice, no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. Those are awesome words. And there's really only one appropriate response to these encouraging words, and they were said by John in Revelation 22:20. Amen, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Right? The hope is great and wonderful. And so John, being excited, says, yes, come on, Lord. Let's get this thing going. So Jesus is coming again. And here's the question. Are you ready? You need to be ready because after the resurrection, there is a judgment. That's the next thing, eschatologically speaking, the Bible talks about. Hebrews 9:27. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. You see, God has made it very clear in His Word that sin will be punished either at Calvary or in hell. If you don't take God up on His offer of forgiveness of sins through His Son, Jesus Christ, then you will pay the penalty of sins in hell forever. That's what the Bible teaches. In Revelation 20, verse 15, John writes, and anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And so are you ready for the return of Jesus? If you're not ready for the return of Jesus, we want to encourage you to get ready. And the way you get ready is you come to Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. You come to Jesus so that your sins can be blotted out, so that He can bury your sins in the depth of the sea, or throw them behind His back, or separate them as far as the east is from the west. That's what He wants to do in your life. But you have to, by faith, respond to His amazing grace. And we're going to sing a song, and we're going to give you the opportunity to respond to His amazing grace. Or if there's some other need in your life that you would like the church to pray about, we would love to do that as well. But if you have any need, this is the time to make those needs known and seek the help of God. And so come as we sing.